may be seated. I'm so glad that we get to spend these moments together in the presence of God. It's very powerful. And there's something about our public gathering together that the Word of God says that when two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst. There's a manifest presence of God. It's a little bit hard to always explain, but God is very real in these public gatherings where we come together in His name. We're in the middle of a series in the book of Haggai. It's a two-pager in my book. In my Bible, it's like really a page and a half. Probably one of the shortest recordings of Scripture in the whole Bible, but it's a very important message. And we've talked about over the last couple of weeks how important it is for us to understand how to interpret Scripture through the lenses, so to speak, of the complete and finished work of the cross. And so I want to remind you of that today. When we read the Old Testament, we read the New Testament, any portion of Scripture that we read, we interpret the meaning of that in light of what Jesus accomplished at the cross. And so in this passage particularly, because of what Jesus did on the cross, it took the Spirit back before Christ, and when Christ was here, the Spirit of God, the presence of God, was geographical. Wherever God decided to put His presence, in the Old Testament we're about to talk about, they wanted to build the temple because the Ark of the Covenant would be there, and that's where the presence of God would dwell and be released into people's lives. And then when Jesus was here, the presence of God was with Him wherever He went. But after the cross, when Jesus ascended into heaven, He told His disciples, "It is good that I leave, because I'm sending back the Spirit." So everyone who puts their faith in Jesus, now it says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So if we're going to interpret Haggai correctly, when we're being admonished to rebuild the temple, now it's not a physical structure, it's people. Because people who believe in Christ are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Is that making sense this morning? So God is calling us through this Old Testament prophecy to rebuild the temple of Jesus. The temple of the Holy Spirit now is us. So our main focus in life is to glorify Jesus and worship Him and then build His church. That's our job. So no matter where your income comes from, you may be a farmer, a teacher, a lawyer, a doctor, you might be a dairyman, you might be a businessman. I don't know what your job is today, but wherever your income comes from, God bless you and God bless your endeavors. But your job is to glorify Jesus Christ and to build His church. That's what we're here to do, every one of us. And so God is our provider. So lest you think you've done a great job of building your business, God allowed you to build a great business so you could be financed, so you could glorify Jesus and build His church. Now, I want to talk today. I don't want to review everything we've talked about the last 2 weeks. It's really important. If you go to your app on your phone, you pull up the Harvest app. If you don't have it, you can download it right now. Or go by the Connection Center out here. They would love to show you how to get this, because it's a great resource for you. You'll go to media. You'll pick Sunday sermons. You'll pick the graphic that's on the wall. It says, "Consider Your Ways." And there's an introduction here to the book of Haggai. You can click on that. It's a 5 or 6 minute history lesson that if you were unable to hear it the first Sunday, it's really good to go back and understand. Because when we study Scripture, we should always understand the historical context that it is being spoken in. And then obviously, like I just explained, we know the history, then we interpret it through the lenses of Jesus and the finished work of the cross. And then we just open our hearts and let the Holy Spirit make it real for today, for us right here in this moment. We believe at Harvest Christian Fellowship, All of these books in the Bible are relevant to us today, interpreted through the complete and finished work of the cross. So week number one, we understood that God called the people back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Now for us, he's called us to build the temple, but the temple is the people of God, to build that up and to strengthen the church. And the title of this whole series is Consider Your Ways. Now, if we need to consider our ways, it's because they might not be in agreement with God's ways. I mean, can we just be real upfront about that? If you read the Bible, you will have this phenomenon. The conviction of the Holy Spirit will fall upon your heart. When you read something that God wants you to understand, your ways may not agree with his ways, then the conviction hits your heart. It's not a bad word. It's a great word. If you're not being convicted by the Holy Spirit about something today, I'm a little bit concerned. Because we're finite, he's infinite, he's going to speak to your heart, he's going to call you to a new place, he's going to interpret who he is to you every day through his word, through prayer, through intentional acts of worship, through fellowship with other passionate believers. This is all part of God speaking to you and bringing conviction to your life. So that's important. We talked about obedience. Like, we just need to hear what the Father says and do it. Hear what the Father says and do it. That's what we try to teach our kids, right? First time obedience with a happy heart. And that would be a great paradigm for adults too. First time obedience to God with a happy heart. What if we all just did that? How simple our lives would become. And then some of you may have never heard from God. And so we invite you at the end of this service, if you go, I don't know how to hear the voice of God. We know it's a biblical paradigm, but if you individually say, honestly, I don't know when I'm hearing God in my heart, please come and let one of our prayer team members pray for you. They're especially equipped for that task to help you find the voice of God in your life and then to get on the path of following him. So week one was consider your ways. And the deal was, what has God spoken to you and are you obeying him? And then what is God speaking to us as a church and are we obeying him? Simple concept, powerful reality if we just learn to obey the voice of God. Week number two, we found an incredible reality. When we obey, it's not always easy. 1 month from the time they decided to obey, 1 month later, they were discouraged. Human beings get discouraged, don't they? That's why he tells them in the first of chapter 2, take courage, because they had lost their courage. They were already tempted to go away because, see, they returned to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. In chapter 1, we find out they totally forgot that and started building their own houses. Then they returned to the word of the Lord in Haggai on the sixth month. They returned. They had a worship service. They reverenced God. And God said, I am with you. Let's get to work. And then by a month later, they had totally veered off course again. If that's not funny to you, I don't know, man. I mean, aren't we somewhat similar? We can be like fired up about something. And then 3 days later, like, now what was that I was going to do? Yeah, we're not different than them. So the prophet came to him in the seventh month and said, be encouraged, I am with you, you're doing what I told you to do, take courage and get back to work. That was the message. And then he gave him these incredible promises. I'm with you, I'll provide for you. So presence, provision, and peace. Those were the message, the big idea from last week. Now this week we're going to pick up with an object lesson in chapter 2, verse 10. On the 24th day of the ninth month, so we're 3 months into the project now, and the word of the Lord comes to the prophet to speak to the people again. The word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests for a ruling. So Haggai comes to the priest. Joshua was the high priest, had a whole group of priests, and he comes to them. Before we read it, I just want to tell you what we're about to, because the language is a little bit hard to navigate sometimes. He comes to him and says, hey, priests, if you're carrying something holy and it touches something unholy, will what's holy make that unholy thing holy? And they say, no. He says, hey, priest, but if you touched a dead corpse, which was always unclean, right, unholy, and then you touch something that's holy, will that make it unholy? Yes. And you're going, well, what's the point of this discussion, right? The point is this. You can stumble into sin, but you will never stumble into righteousness or holiness or godliness, whatever word you want to pick. And so the whole point of today's message is this. You can stumble into sin, but you'll never stumble into holy living. And the call of God to his people is to be holy. What does holy mean? Holy means set apart for a specific reason. It's not some foo-foo, float around on clouds and throw out incense kind of deal. That's not what holy is. Holy means you have been set apart for a specific purpose. The church itself is, the word ecclesia means called out ones, the holy ones. If you're a believer today, you are the church. Say, I am holy. Woo! Bunch of holy rollers up in this house today. I am holy. I'm set apart. I've been called by God for what? To bring glory to the Son of God, to worship him, to honor him, and build his church. That's my job. That's your job. That's what we get to do. Now, do you have to do that? Nope. You don't have to do that. You know why? Because there's this interesting doctrine called the free will of men. You can do whatever you want, but you are being called out to do what God wants. It's a simple choice. That's what they were wrestling with this in Haggai's time. Do what I want or do what God wants. Now, there's consequences to both. Let's talk about today. We believe in the eternal security of the believer. What does that mean? Once you've received Christ, you cannot lose your salvation. It's secure. The Bible teaches in the New Testament, especially in the book of John, once you're in his hand, you're secure. God even covers you with his hand. You cannot be taken away from the free gift of God, which is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. How do you get that? You confess your sins in Romans 10:9. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. You can't lose your salvation. We're not talking about losing your salvation today. So please don't be confused when I challenge you and God's word challenges you to make hard choices to follow God. Salvation's a gift. And because you're saved, the Spirit lives in you. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now that the Spirit lives in you, you have the ability to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. You have the ability to honor Jesus with your whole life and build his church. Person by person, relationship by relationship, day by day, moment by moment, I've committed my life to honoring Jesus, first of all, worshiping him with every choice I make, and then my job on this planet is to build his church. And here's the deal. Jesus made it clear, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. You know how you could say this in another way? Jesus is very narrow-minded. And we don't think narrow-mindedness is good. We think we need to open our mind up. Now, you got to be open-minded about things, right? But like my dad said, son, don't be so open-minded that your brains fall out. I can be accepting and loving to all mankind, whether they agree with me about salvation or not. But we are these called out ones. I've got to find a group of people who believe what I believe, who are in agreement with what the Bible teaches, so God can use us together to glorify Jesus in the earth and build his church. Those are those people who are on the narrow way. See, we like to keep our options open. Narrow doesn't keep your options open. You know, Jesus even said through the Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians, your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. But we don't want to hear that because we are Americans. And we have freedom. And we think freedom means I get to do whatever I want. Even American freedom comes at a cost. Today we celebrate Veterans Day. The freedom that's been purchased for us, if we're going to join with God in the kingdom and building the church, we are going to become very narrowly focused. That doesn't mean you're judgmental of other people, but the choices you make narrow you in to certain ways of living, ways that build the church. So it's no longer my way, it's his way. And his way does bring restrictions. We don't like that either. I'm free, by golly, I can do whatever I want. Not really, if you want to join God in his work. Can you be a Christian and receive the free gift of salvation and forgiveness and do whatever you want? I would argue no, biblically. But, you know, some people say, well, I know I'm a Christian, but I'm not going to do all that. Well, then let's put that over here. And let's say, I'm preaching today to Christians who not only want the free gift of God, but they want to join God in building his church. That's who I'm going to preach to the rest of this service. If you don't want to be in that category, you don't have to listen. Because the free will of man still exists. But I believe this is the word God is preaching to us. He's speaking to us through his holy word. Because here's the deal. Who's going to build the church if you don't? Who's going to glorify Jesus if you don't? If every one of us are just doing our own thing, who is going to build the church? It's a good question. We'll get back to it in just a minute. But I want to read this passage. Now that you understand, he's going to give them an object lesson. Let's read it, see if it can have application to us. Verse 12. If a man carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches some bread or cooked food or wine or oil or any other food, will that food become holy? And the priest answered, no. Priests know what they're doing. They know this stuff. Then Haggai said, if one of you is unclean or not holy, right? Not set apart, unclean from a corpse that touches any of these elements, talking about the food or the oil or the wine or any other food, will they become unclean? At the end of verse 13, and the priest answered, it will become unclean. So here's what he just said. You can't bump into holiness. Whatever made that meat holy, there was a process that priests went through sacrifice and washings and all the, go read it, Leviticus, man, there's lots of rules, right? In their paradigm, that meat was clean. But if that meat bumps into another piece of bread, does it make the bread clean and holy? Nope. But what if someone comes in who is unclean and touches that meat that's already been made holy? Guess what? That holy meat becomes unclean. This is what I learned from this. You can stumble into sinfulness and unclean living. But you'll never stumble into holy living. There is a process that causes you to live a holy life. Here's the way I would say it to us today. You must be intentional. You must live on purpose if you're going to help Jesus build his church. Because if you're just meandering around out there, you'll stumble into unholy everywhere. You don't even have to go anywhere. It's in your own heart, you were born in original sin. And you know what the Bible says? Even though you're born again, you still wrestle with this old nature. The book of Ephesians says you got to put off the old and put on the new every day. So you don't even have to go look at a computer screen or a billboard or go hang out in a place of ill repute. You just got to look in your own heart to decide if you're going to be clean or unclean today. If you'll be holy or unholy. If you're going to put away the old and put on the new today, it's totally up to you. You're not going to stumble in to holiness. You're not going to accidentally build the church. And that's what this whole message is about. I've called you here to build the church. Called you here to glorify Jesus with every decision you make. You won't do that by accident. Will you? No. You won't get off drugs accidentally. You won't stop being a pervert just because you bumped into somebody that's holy. No. You have more of a likelihood of making the holy person become a pervert with you than the holy person making you just by stumbling into each other. But if you both become intentional, here's what I know. I'm your pastor, right? You all expect me to live a holy life. Whether you tell me that or not, I know you expect that from me. Because the Bible expects that from me. But I'm no different than you. I could stumble into unholy living like that. You could have served God for 59 years and on the 60th year fall into the world because it's every moment, every choice. Now, it's not hard for me to live a holy life anymore because I have surrounded myself with holy people. I put in my life all kinds of boundaries that keep me in place. If I start to veer off the path, I have warnings. You go, you're getting off the path, dude. You know what those warnings look like? Men with mustaches and goatees. Women with beautiful hair who are my friends, who pray for me, who would all, every one of them, come and confront me if they even have an inkling that I'm getting off the path because I've invited those boundaries. Now, how about you? Most of us really have a hard time inviting truth into our lives. Why? Well, nobody telling us we're wrong. We don't even like reading the Bible because we know the Bible's going to tell us something we need to change. What's the point of today's little word picture? You won't stumble into holiness. You'll do it on purpose. I'll say it this way. Just coming to church and filling a chair does not mean you're living a holy life. It means you like coming here. Pull out your checkbook, interview your spouse, ask your kids or your business partners, then we'll find out if you're living a holy life. Showing up here, knowing how to say, I'm blessed, brother. How you doing today? Oh, blessed. Going in and coming out, the Lord is with me. Hallelujah. You know how to do that? That don't mean nothing. It means nothing. It means you know how to act like you're holy on the outside. Now, holy is not hard to attain. The Spirit of God is in you, and it is the Holy Spirit. But you've got to submit to the Holy Spirit. You've got to choose to let the Holy Spirit take control over your mind. What does Romans 12 say? Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There is always a process and a choice. Well, let me go on. Then verse 14, then Haggai said, so it is with this people and so it is with this nation before me, declares the Lord. And so is every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. He's referring back to, if you understand what's going on, you read the whole thing in context. He's telling them, this is where you were 3 months ago. because nothing was working for you guys, is what he tells them. You'll go and you read that in the rest of that scripture. You weren't making a harvest. You weren't having enough food. I mean, and that was their paradigm. Remember, we said drought to us today would not be physical but spiritual. How many say, man, I just feel dry spiritually? He's recounting to them that before you responded to the Lord and decided to obey him, everything was dry. Nothing was working for you guys. It was all unholy. It was unclean. I hope you'll go home and read this. I hope you'll wrestle with this. I hope you'll ask the Holy Spirit to speak specifically to you about what this passage of Scripture means to you. Listen to me. If you have a pornography addiction, you will not get over it casually. If you have a drug addiction, you will not get over it by just saying, well, help me, Jesus. That ain't going to happen. You're going to stay an addict. If you're a rageaholic or a liar or whatever sin you want to point out that somebody might be, you're not going to overcome that old life. This is going to offend some people just because you got saved. Salvation says you're forgiven. Salvation says you'll go to heaven when you die. But salvation is the entryway into the vastness of God's kingdom. If you read an honest read of the New Testament, you can't say following Jesus is easy peasy. It is a sacrificial life. Jesus said, anyone who comes after me must take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. And how did we get the idea that following Jesus was just come to Jesus and get all the free stuff and woo-hoo-hoo-hoo? Where did we get that idea? It's our twisted interpretation of Scripture. We twist it to fit me. I want this Jesus to fit me. And Jesus says, I don't fit anybody. I'm one size, could fit all if you come into my way of doing things. I'm narrow, Jesus says. I've spelled it out for you in this book, how you're supposed to live your life, and you're still arguing with me. Like, logically, how good does it work to argue with the infinite God of the universe? How is that working for you? Or maybe I'm just preaching to everybody outside of here because I bet all you got this down, right? I don't. I'm just being honest today. Just being honest. Following God is not difficult, but it's purposeful. It's intentional. Any one of us could do this. You can live the holy life. It is not hard because the Holy Spirit empowers you to make holy choices. But if you're hanging on to your personal preferences, if you're hanging on to your pet sin, if you're hanging on to your family culture that may not agree with God's kingdom culture, you're going to miss your calling. And I think God wants you to fulfill your calling, not miss it. Okay, so here we go. That's a lot of confrontive stuff. We'll try to find something nice. In verse 15, 16, and 17, he just reviews the fact that they had strayed away. I'm not going to read it for sake of time. Verse 18, do consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day when the temple of the Lord was being founded. Consider, remember the title of this whole message, consider your ways. Consider this. Is the seed still in the barn? The answer is yes. There's still seed to be sown. Even including the vine and the fig and the pomegranate and the olive tree, it has not borne fruit. Yet, from this day on, I will bless you. In first service, I said it this way. Where are the people of God? Where are the ones who lay down their life and follow him with abandon? Where is the church? It's right here. It's right here. It's you. We're not looking for some special sauce. It's you. Normal. West Texas. Plainview. Olton, Crass, Floydada, Amarillo, Lubbock, and all in between. It's just normal West Texas people. Will you live this life on purpose? I believe you will. Stand with me. Because God doesn't give us his word. He doesn't challenge us for us to walk away disappointed. He challenges us with his word for us to step up to the challenge. And the challenge is this, church, my life, every one of us, where no matter what my vocation is, no matter where my income comes from, my life, your life, is for one purpose: glorify Jesus and build his church. And that, my friends, is a narrow path. And I believe that's who we are. And that's what we're here to do. Will you pray with me? Prayer team, please come now. From this day on, I will bless you. God, I believe, and the truth is this, when we walk on the narrow way, the blessings are so abundant, we overflow with goodness. I believe your narrow way is so much better than the broad way. I believe when we purpose to intentionally follow you, glorify you, and join you in building your people, that blessings overflow. From this day forward, I will bless you, declares the Lord. Open our minds, open our hearts, God. Let us brace the reality of choices that we need to make, but fill us with the hope that the power of the Holy Spirit is in us. The holy life is very much attainable for us. Now release your power upon your church today, God. Loose us from any bonds of wickedness and draw us into the narrow way, and let us know the power of your Holy Spirit to build your church in West Texas. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As we sing this song, you're welcome to come. Maybe you're one of those people who said, I can't hear from God. Well, come and let us help you get on that path by praying for you this morning. Maybe you're under conviction. Maybe the Lord has spoken to you about something you need to let go of so you can embrace his way. Just come now. Let someone pray with you. Let's sing together and then be dismissed.